WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
It's me. It's that D-O-double-G Marvin once again with Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports. Entertainment.
I come with glad tidings.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Oh, warm light for all mankind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Why the hell should I take orders from you?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Living legend who kind of lives up to the legend.
The Omega.
A man with breathtaking anger management issues.
Heartbreak Mike.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Do I look to be in a gaming mood?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're dealing with forces you can't control.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
The humans think us immortal.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
Hey, this is Becky Bayless.
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
You are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
You have no idea what you're dealing with.
Shakespeare in the Park? Is everything a joke to you?
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I should know by now not to make a musical joke before a show.
Always wait until afterwards, kids.
Don't blame me. This is all Omega.
Yeah. I'll take full blame for this. That was fun. I make one smart-ass comment. Just someone has to fucking roll with it. Yeah. It's a whole new world in the WWE, and we're already wishing for the apocalypse. It's Backlash! Perfect, Jasmine. That's exactly the case.
The lyrics are perfect.
So, trust us, this makes more sense than you think it does. Let's get underway here. So we don't get sued by Disney. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we'll get a heartbreak mic at some point, but for now, it is myself and the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that's right, that's me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, beaming across the planet. Hey, we're being heard in Alberta, Canada. We're being heard in the United States, all over the place, as far away as, believe it or not, Australia. G'day, mate. I'm going to start talking like that just to piss off the Aussies tuned in, just for the hell of it. Okay, maybe I won't.
Please don't.
No, anyway, no, I'm pretty sure most people listening are already pissed off over enough tonight.
Yeah, and I'm gonna get everybody who's pissed off, they're going to catch hell tonight. So I can't wait. points, major points. And it was all because you talked me into it, Rock. I know. It must hurt after the fact, eh?
I lost points because of gender.
You lost points because I won points.
Gender.
Yeah.
Gender.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you guys are probably going to be just like in the minority here, but I'm not happy he won because I picked him for my fantasy league. Jinder Mahal happens to be my friend. Like, legitimately for real, he's a friend of mine. in real life.
The best tweet I saw, and it all, you know, goes back to the controversy from last week. Randy Orton took a ... dive tonight. That was the best tweet I saw tonight.
I enjoyed TJ Wilson's tweet. You know, just because of the rhyme, don't hinder gender.
Which is everyone's saying.
Yeah, they've been throwing that around on TV for weeks now.
Well, yeah, but still. The fact that Tyson Kidd tweeted it, that was kind of, you know, again, another friend of mine.
Name drop here, 6 degrees of Tim Stein right there.
What is the 6 degrees of Tim Stein you keep alluding to? You've been doing this for 8 weeks now.
You came up with it.
Shut up, dummy. Go with it, you dumb kayfabe breaker.
I killed kayfabe one more than this.
Well, yeah, I'm resuscitating it, and I gave it an artificial heart. Smart now.
Okay, you brought back kayfabe.
You moron. You silly old humanoid. Meanwhile, I'm watching Grudge Match on TV. There's your movie reference to go along with the two name drops.
Anyway, let's get into the show before we take any more shot.
Oh, that was a lot of fun.
Hold on, it was backlash tonight. Hold on, and then, you know, we then find Jesus. Now we can continue.
Wait a minute. Somebody was looking for Jesus?
Someone found God at one point. Anyway, moving
on. Nobody's going to get this reference, but I saw him driving a short troop microbus.
Thank you for that, Tim.
Nobody will get that reference. No.
Why would you make a reference nobody gets?
Because I'm trying to emulate JBL.
He's been doing that for 10 years.
JBL was frightening tonight. He had
Oh my god.
He had one on the pre-show where it was like 3 minutes of fumbling around trying to make some kind of sense of it.
And just made things worse. But holy crowd, was the crowd hostile to good old Bradshaw Rock.
From what I heard, they were chanting,
Fire JBL.
Yeah, fire JBL chants once he came out.
Apparently, the place melted down in hatred from the crowd towards JBL.
It's a Chicago crowd. They're a little bit more savvy than most, so yeah, I can imagine that.
Yep. But yeah, all in all, taking a look on Twitter, that somebody had posted a poll. Do you give tonight's backlash thumbs up, thumbs down, or are you undecided? And over 300 votes so far, when I looked at it, 55% of the people who responded gave it thumbs up.
I mean, the show wasn't bad. Like, even gender winning wasn't bad, because you kind of saw it coming, and it made somewhat sense, because if you want to use him, you don't cut his legs now.
I have argued in the past where the results should be dictated by what tells the best story, and I will admit, Randy Orton beating Jobber on pay-per-view does not equate to a good story. I will give it that much.
Okay, but you're not going to give it very much more than that, are you?
No, I'm not. Like, I will acknowledge that, because otherwise it would be hypocrisy on my part.
Unfortunately, you are correct, sir. It's not unfortunate you're correct. It's just unfortunate it would be hypocrisy on your part.
So, pre-show, Tim, what happened?
There was a pre-show match. Aiden English took on Ty Dillinger. Aiden actually came to the ring serenading, or like he sang his own ring entrance music live without any musical accompaniment, walking to the ring.
Well, yeah, they've reverted back to that gimmick ever since Simon Gotch got fired.
Yep.
So it's good to see that he's doing the full entrance now.
And, of course, naturally, right from the get-go, the Chicago crowd was hot, giving him absolutely big, huge, ginormous boos, except for whenever he mentioned Chicago. There's a surprise.
Wow, shocker.
Well, you know, he threatened an encore song, but he got interrupted by Ty Dillinger's music, and the crowd just exploded. As soon as Dillinger's music hit, boom, everybody was just right into it right from the outset. But again, it's like somebody said, it's a Chicago crowd. They're savvier than most. Omega?
There's two of us. I hope you remember which one.
No, I was just, you know, Omega, that just means you're a somebody.
Aw.
Yeah. So, anyway. English was doing a damn good job getting his ass over as a heel. Now, something that we have never really talked about. What makes a great heel? Omega, in your opinion, what would you say makes a really good heel?
Good heels should know the right buttons to hit at the right time.
Yeah.
They should be able to play a crowd without being too obnoxious about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they should be able to do something that gets people under people's skin.
Yep.
But doesn't come off as too cheesy or forced.
I was about to say, don't say Xbox.
Don't, yeah.
Yeah. yeah, that makes a really good heel. As well as somebody who can really work the stick. Really, really talk well on a microphone. I agree with every single point that you made, but, what makes a heel go from really, really good to absolutely great?
Being the Rock?
No.
Okay.
Being able, just the way you're healing on the crowd, being able to actually get the babyface over with the crowd before the babyface even does anything good guy-ish. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, Ric Flair was fantastic at that, for example.
Yeah, well, that was the whole philosophy behind Hollywood Hogan.
Yeah.
To make someone that's so villainous and good at it that everyone's hot for whoever comes to punch him in the face.
Yep. And Aiden English did that tonight. I mean, even before Ty Dillinger did anything to get a crowd response, the crowd was responding for Ty because of what Aiden was doing. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and I'm like, this guy has got some real, you know, not to mix metaphors here with different industries, but he's got some real chops.
English has always been very talented.
Yeah. There's no denying that.
No denying that at all. And
yeah,
he had a nice solid singles run before they made the Vaudevillains.
Yep.
Back in NXT. So you aren't surprised that he's able to garner that type of reaction from a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
If WWE were to push him, I think he could do well as a lower tier mid-card-ish heel. Just mm-hmm. What he'll be really good at. And sort of what Curt Hawkins is good at.
Yep.
He's great for the house show.
Mm-hmm.
That you start him off, get some great heat early on in the show.
No, absolutely. And this was a bit of perhaps a convoluted way of me putting over Aiden English over tonight. Putting over Aiden English over. I talk English good. But like full marks and kudos to him. And the match itself, you know, it's your standard pre-show match. Just a little bit of a warmer upper for the crowd. English basically in control of most of the match until right near the end with Dillinger taking over with a series of rapid moves and then, you know, basically wins with his finisher.
The tiebreaker.
Yeah, the tie-dye job.
It's not the same move that he used to use, is it?
No, they tweaked it a little bit because his finisher sort of was one of the moves AJ does.
Yeah, it's the same neckbreaker.
Yeah, so they kind of tweaked it.
I like it better.
It's a nice touch. They tweaked it nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, all of you Stan fans in the audience tonight might be happy to find out that no one kicks Stan.
Disappointed.
Brock's disappointed.
Stan always deserves to be kicked because he's Stan. And what has Stan ever done for you?
There you go.
Just
Stan's role in life is to be kicked.
Yeah.
He's like a soccer ball in that sense.
Kenny always dies. Stan just deserves to be kicked.
Yeah, there you go. So, Dillinger wins. And then after the match, they go back, of course, to the panel with Booker T and Renee Young and what's his name?
Peter Rosenberg.
That's right. And before they actually really get rolling, somebody showed up. And, well, just watching it, I just thought that was a little weird. Rowan showed up at the table with a paper bag.
Well, a sack.
It's a burlap sack. Right? Yeah.
Well, okay, burlap sack. It looked like a paper bag. Okay, he showed up with his burlap sack, sat down. they're trying to like interview him and talk to him and ask him about his match tonight. He's not even looking at the camera. He's just kind of like doing his thing. No words at all.
Which was really good. I will say this, the best promo he's ever done is was on Talking Smack on Tuesday night. You had so much character development. You get the full meaning behind all the masks that he has. Because he has the clown mask, the different color mask, and the gas mask, which is his calming mask to where he feels at home.
Yeah. Well, he took one mask out of that burlap sack and he tried to like rip it in half or whatever, and then he threw it away.
Yeah. He tried the different masks sort of, it's what makes him happy.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of what they were trying to explain on Talking Smack. It's a full, if you really want character development, 3-4 minutes on Talking Smack will do it.
Yeah.
The same.
But, yeah, it was kind of, you know, cheesy funny. And it was like, as soon as he got up and walked away and they're all like, well, that was fun. And I'm like, well, that was weird.
It was weirder Tuesday because all right, when they do that show, Renee Young is really tied down from all the microphones.
No.
And stuff. Ergon really got up all in up in her space.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where she had to start ripping things out so she could get away. So it's like, space, Rowan doesn't want to give it. Just now.
There you go, yeah. So yeah, you know, the pre-show, that was pretty much it. You know, the standard, pre-match hype promos and, oh hey, you know, if you subscribe to the network, you get it free for 30 days, including Backlash tonight. So hurry up and subscribe. Just so you can cancel your subscription at the end of the night when you find out who won the main event.
Yeah.
I saw one of those. Not the smartest idea. Saying?
I mean, geez, some people are such dopes. You know, really, to get that upset just because your wrestler didn't win, or a wrestler you don't like wins? Oh my god. Anyway, off to the main show, Rock!
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Dolph Ziggler.
Shinsuke, and, you know, of course, they had to open up the pay-per-view with this match.
Because you made dinner.
Now, like, it delayed me. It was damned inconvenient. I had dishes to wash and hamburgers to cook, so I had to wait.
Shinsuke's entrance was pretty awesome. Crowd singing him in was great.
It's a crowd Shinsuke was loud. Entrance. It's supposed to be awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, the crowd was nice and loud. It was very enjoyable, and I tell you, holy cow, is there a bigger showman in WWE today?
Balor, when he wants to paint himself up.
Yeah, okay, but if you get away from the part-time gimmicks, just by his ring entrance alone, is there a bigger showman in the WWE? By his everyday standard ring entrance?
Okay, no.
Okay, yeah.
And on a weekly basis, yes.
Yeah, and for me, Omega, it's just at the point now, all you got to do is hear the opening riff of his entrance music, and I've got the tingles, and I'm sitting up, and I'm leaning towards the TV, and I'm just waiting for him to show up.
Don't ever tell me about your tingles again.
Not like that. Oh my god, spine tingles.
Okay. Yeah, it's something about that, like the build up is good, but there's just something about that one long guitar riff before the music really hits. It just blows everything up.
Yeah. So, we have this match.
Mm-hmm.
Shinsuke's messing with Dolph early on. Which, you know, is what they usually do and how it is. And then Dolph takes over the offense.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of starts, I don't know, doing Dolph things like headlocks. Really hampering sort of Shinsuke style? Just a little?
That was the weird thing about this. Like, they've had this match a lot as dark main events, and they've been doing it on house shows. It feels like things like that should have been worked out by now.
And to me, and to Tim, because he asked this question, I think, like 10 minutes into the match.
Thoughts so far?
And I go, underwhelmed?
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I have to admit, I was expecting more, especially because it was Shinsuke, you know, air quotes, his debut on a SmackDown event.
And we all know how good Shinsuke can be. Big match, big stage, he usually delivers.
Yeah, but he got put in there with Ziggler. And the whole thing, you nailed it on the head, Rock, in our little chat.
they're trying to make it look like Ziggler can hang with Nakamura, and instead of helping Ziggler, it hurts Shinsuke.
Because you wanted to, you know, it's all hype. Shinsuke's all hype for the last 6 weeks. And it's sort of like, you wanted to come out and see him come out with a bang, and it's like, you didn't get it.
No. And It's one thing where NXT can sometimes be a weakness, because you actually get to know the guy before they come to the main roster, before they're in front of, you know, 10,000 plus people. And you can see how good they are. You can see what they do, especially in an environment where NXT, where they get away with a lot of stuff you don't get away with on the main roster. And they play more to their, you know, to their traditional, more comfortable styles. Now, it's just hard to get that to translate to, like, the main roster style of performance. And because we know how good he is. We've seen it. We can go back on the network and watch how good he is. Mm. And we can tell this is not what he's capable of.
Because he came in, he hit his spots, he hit the exploder, and he hit his knees, and everything that like that would that makes him impressive. You saw the spots. But by the time we got to the spots, Dolph's... Okay, this is not blaming Dolph. It's blaming the person who helped put the match together. And the person who helped put the match together sort of hampered what we can get the best out of Shinsuke.
Now, you know, this is just a fact of life in the world of professional wrestling. There are guys that are really good in the ring. And there are guys that are really good in the ring with those other guys that are really good in the ring. And then you got this style, which does not mesh at all with that style.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you said, you know, not trying to shit on Dolph Ziggler at all, but these two are not the two that complement each other. And that's just what it is. It's not necessarily a clash of styles, because you can have a really good match when you clash styles, but these guys they just did not work well together, which is sad.
Because
it's too bad.
It's strange, because with Ziggler, I'm used to him being able to put over people. I'm used to him being able to carry a match and make his opponent look really, really good.
Yeah.
And he's just one of those guys that makes a match work. That he is that versatile. I don't know why. And they had weeks to work on this match. Like, there's no reason this should have been underwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
None whatsoever. And here's the thing. I believe they've been working the house shows all Europe for 12 days. You would think they would have worked the match out.
And it here's the thing, especially because it was the curtain jerker. It could have been so much more than it was. And I think mainly I'm disappointed because Shinsuke was like held back. Just out of necessity. We've seen Dolph be the high flyer who can do all of these great moves and stuff like that. I don't know, maybe he took what Randy Orton said to heart in Randy Orton's tweets.
So, I thought about this as this match is going on. Who is Dolph Ziggler right now? What is his purpose?
Well, that's just it. Does he have one anymore?
He's the heel that comes out in American tights for some reason.
Which he should never wear again.
Yeah. I have no idea why the fuck you're trying to be patriotic and a bad guy.
A patriot.
Know, without Dutch Mantel with you.
Yeah. The patriotic heel only works if you have Dutch, right?
And he's not even a patriotic heel. He's just wearing
the USA for no flipping reason.
It kind of
made sense in this match because he's going up against someone from Japan.
But he's been wearing them. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, here's the thing. They could have turned it around where, you know, it's reversed. Instead of the fans chanting USA, 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 they could have worked that a little bit more for the fans to get even more behind Shinsuke.
Could you actually get a crowd to chant Japan, Japan?
Well, they chanted UK, UK, UK last night.
I'm thinking, you know, like say if Nakamura starts the chant, the crowd would pick it up, especially the Chicago crowd. There are certain crowds that are a little bit more savvy than others in different places. I mean, Chicago, right? New York, Calgary, Montreal,
Philly.
Philly. right? There are some places. And if the WWE, like, bring it to Calgary, take it to Philly, go to Montreal, go to, you know, like, you've been to Chicago, right? Take it to New York and have Shinsuke, when there's a couple of down seconds and he's facing somebody like Dolph wearing his American tights, that's when it would have made sense for him to wear the American tights. Have Shinsuke get the crowd chanting in Japan. All he's got to do is Japan, 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 and then you know that those smarks would pick it up and run with it.
Or they could,
which would make it even more fun.
Or they could revolt and just chant USA and it screws it all up.
they wouldn't do that to Shinsuke Nakamura because he's the biggest babyface going in SmackDown right now. Come on. But the point is,
don't put it past anyone. I'm just saying.
Don't what?
Don't put it past anyone that they could turn on him. Just.
Well, you might get one or two hicks, but they'd be drowned out. Smart ass. Anyway.
Continue your point, Tim.
Anyway, yeah. What was my point? Did I finish making it? I don't know.
I think you did. Anyway. Okay. You still don't know who Matt, we've booed other people besides Santa. Just moving on.
Philadelphia would boo the Liberty Bell if it was carried into the ring by John Cena.
I want to go that far.
I just did.
And you would be wrong.
Tell me I'm 100% wrong.
You are 100% wrong.
No chance.
Plenty chance.
Okay, then give the Liberty Bell to Jinder Mahal to carry into the ring.
That, on the other hand,
he's got enough. He's probably juiced enough to do it.
He doesn't even need the carry. He just puts it on his carpet. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a magic flying carpet.
Anyway, still don't know who Dolph is. Still will never know who Dolph is, because he just seems like a guy who, he reminds me of Mr. Kennedy Anderson.
Mm.
He's just sort of a dude who believes he's all that in a bag of chips and never lives up to it.
Well, the problem is creative fucked him up. And part of my French, they screwed him up royally. Oh, you're this guy, you're that guy, you're this guy, you're that guy. You know what you are? You're the new version of we don't know what to do with the Big Show.
Kind of feels that way.
Yeah.
God, it feels like one of those derailments, like what happened to, like I can remember that happened to R-Truth when the plans they had written out completely kind of collapsed.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he had the tag team with the Miz for a while, and there was something to what was going on. There was something going on behind the scenes, Laurinaitis manipulating shit, whatever. And it never occurred. The storyline never got completed, so everything just kind of floundered in different directions, and Truth's career never recovered from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now you have the same thing with Dolph, where it felt like they had, the last time that felt like they had an idea for Dolph was when Lana was going face.
Yeah.
And then she blew that thanks to Instagram.
And announcing her wedding, yeah. And pissing off WWE.
Yeah. So Ziggler lost his way. Lana's got a dancing gimmick now and had to go back to being a heel in the meantime.
I think she needs to go and visit John Travolta and take dancing lessons.
I think she needs to not dance.
Well, that was basically sort of my point.
She danced really well until Divas. Just saying.
Yeah, but did you see her on the house shows?
Yeah, she just doesn't dance very well at the house shows going to the ring.
I said she danced well until Divas, that's all I'm saying.
We're not watching Total Divas.
Well, you're not. I am. We do a rack extra Total Divas available now at WildTalkRadio.com.
Whore. Oh, you whore. Are such a whore.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this is the case of if I'm in control of trying to figure out what am I going to do with Dolph. I was in the situation with a guy that wrestled for me. He was known in Edmonton as Bucky Briggs, and he was the good guy. And it's always "Let's go, Bucky!" from the crowd, that the fans that would drive down from Edmonton to watch my shows. You know, and it got confusing to everybody in Calgary, like, who the fuck's Bucky?
Yeah.
And I renamed him Mike Briggs. Then I had just a bit of a flash because I saw him in a certain shade of light when he was walking through a hallway, and I went, Maverick Mike Briggs. And I slowly got him to the point. He grew out his hair. and he wore a leather style jacket with the collar that you could flip up, and he got aviator sunglasses. Okay, Maverick Mike Briggs. And then I got rid of his standard ring entrance music and played the theme from Top Gun and started it off with I Feel the Need for Speed. And I told him, you're going to go out there. You're going to really exaggerate yourself as a baby face because I want the crowd to turn on you. And once his hair was grown out, he had the look and the whole bit. He looked like a blonde Tom Cruise because he had the nose. He had the Tom Cruise nose and it was perfect. And here's, the baby face that people boo. And I got rid of all of the Bucky chants just like that. And it was fantastic. And it all stemmed from, well, what the fuck am I going to do with this guy?
Well, sometimes it just takes that little moment of inspiration to figure out who someone's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the reason Steve Austin is who he is because of a fucking cup of tea.
Yeah, his wife at the time.
So here's a question. We don't know who Dolph is. What do you do with Shinsuke? Who's his next opponent? And you cannot say Kevin Owens or AJ Styles.
Yeah, and those are the two people on the roster you want him to go up against.
But he needs to get built up to get to them. So who do you use to build to them? Because Dolph was supposed to be that guy.
Before tonight, I'd say Jinder Mahal, but fuck me.
Because you have to look at that roster and go, he's building two matches with them, but he needs a match in between. You figured Dolph would have been that guy.
Well, what do you say, Mike?
I would have to say either Baron or Sammy.
Ooh, okay. Baron would be rough.
Yeah, I want to ask, why would you say Baron?
Baron Corbin, because he's that freestyle and one.
Freestyle?
He just doesn't, he gives no fucks. And also, him on Talking Smack, he would get some good material on Shinsuke Nakamura. I believe that.
But I'm not talking about promo, I'm talking about match.
Well, match-wise, yeah, I think it'd be pretty good with him.
Well, that would be rough.
It may be, but shit, honestly, I thought another person was going to be rough, but hey, look what happened at the end of the show.
Oh no, I would already argue that was rough.
I will talk about that later.
That sounds like a corn cob shop. Anyway.
And then Sami Zayn.
Now there, Sami Zayn. I don't have a problem with Zayn versus Nakamura.
I don't have a problem with Zayn Nakamura but too.
In ring work wise, I have absolutely no problem with that. I'd love to see that again.
Yeah,
I've seen what they can do.
Yeah,
what they're doing, like Sami Zayn's character right now is he's nothing. A dork. He's barely able to keep up in the ring. The announcers get worried for his health. Oh, hey, he won.
He is also a babyface.
Yeah, well, that too.
Who does that sound like that we know? Well, used to.
Who?
I'm trying to think. Babyface, mofos are worried. Huh. I don't know.
I mean,
you brought it up. I was like, I figured you had
I'm trying to think.
I figured you had an answer.
I thought I did have an answer.
It's just a recurring theme for Sammy.
It's sad as the underdogs
who can barely hold up.
It is. And if WWE didn't screw this up, I really would have loved to see Miz versus Nakamura.
I felt like that's what they were leading to.
And then everyone was like, haha, fools, fuck you, big swerve.
Let's face it, for SmackDown for Shinsuke Nakamura, the ultimate target is AJ.
That's the end goal, yes.
And, you know, if you guys haven't seen any New Japan footage with AJ and Shinsuke, go YouTube it. Not right now.
We're done, but do it.
Yeah. So, anyway, by the way, Shinsuke won. Just saying.
Because of course he did.
Of course he did.
Of course.
Because debut and Shinsuke.
And Dolph.
God damn it, WWE.
And then we had the most entertaining matchup of the night.
Oh, gee, what the fuck did we just watch, Rock?
The most entertaining match.
No, before that, what you remember? What the fuck did we just watch? I sent that to you.
What was it then, Tim?
It was the Fashion Police.
Oh yeah.
The match didn't get a highlight reel. It didn't get like a promo package or anything. They just replayed the sketch from Thursday. From Tuesday.
I enjoy the Fashion Police.
Yeah, and I'm like, what the fuck did we just watch? And goes, oh, I liked it. It was entertaining. I mean, yeah, okay, I get it, but I mean, .. And then the match started. And we were treated to absolutely one of the most classic comedy matches in professional wrestling, in WWE in ages, for sure.
This felt Attitude Era.
It was fun.
This felt, you know what? This felt like them acknowledging that, okay, we've got Breeze Dango and Tyler Breeze. Okay, we acknowledge that after the brand split, we kind of have to rebuild things and work with what we got. So let's work best with this. And rather than go out there and put them over just as serious contenders, but they go out there and, okay, let's just put on something entertaining for the match. And I did not expect this.
No, I have to admit, I didn't expect it either. And I was, geez, Tyler, you start off in, with me and then wind up in WWE and this is the depths you've sunk to. You go into the ring as a janitor? What the hell? It was cute. It really was.
Stuck with it. That mop was, I have not seen a mop over like that since Perry Saturn.
Shut up.
We had no word of a lie, Mike.
We had a mop chant. By the way, we learned that a Canadian can actually be funny. Just saying. I know.
Canadians are generally the most funny.
No.
Shut up.
I liked his, I liked the bit better when he came back in.
As grandma?
And
this is for
Let's go, grandma.
And this is for Tim.
Moolah's back from the dead.
Yep.
Oh, it's JBL.
Oh my god, JBL. I will admit when the dress got thrown at him, he said, last time I had to pay for that, and the entire announce desk just instantly cracked up laughing.
They just lost it. Yep.
Yeah, I'll fully admit, okay, that's your one good line you've gotten this year, JBL.
Like, what did he actually say? At least this time I didn't pay for it, or I didn't pay for it, and I didn't pay for it?
Last time that happened, I had to pay for it.
Mm.
I like that Jimmy would go to the top rope, Breeze would roll. Jimmy would then go to the other side where he rolled. Breeze would roll back.
Yep.
And back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. It was awesome.
Go
ahead.
My favorite bit of the match, and I don't remember which Uso it was.
You can never tell. Doesn't matter.
But Breeze hits the drop kick out of nowhere in full dress. The other Uso runs in to take over, and Breeze flashes him, and it makes him stop.
And the only thing going through my mind when Breeze hit the Barnacle Buster, I'm like, ew.
Because, when you're in a dress, you got to hit the Bronco Buster.
It's a man in a dress delivering the Bronco Buster, and they're like, ew.
And for all the comedy Breeze would do, Fandango would come in and be awesome.
And he would do the awesome stuff, and then Breeze would come back in. And then halfway through the match, all of a sudden, it became a really good tag team match.
Breeze got serious. He hit his big moves. He hit the Unpredator. They went from comedy to wrestling. It was a really great match. Entertaining as all hell. Finish was great. Breeze tried to do a flip on the outside, got caught, got dumped into the crowd. Fandango then ate a super kick on the top rope. Usos retain. Entertaining as all hell this match was. Go out of your way to see it.
It was damn fun.
This is the kind of match where the losers come out looking the best. Because they had a chance to actually put themselves over and actually, for once with this tag team, actually make something out of themselves, and God, did they take advantage of it.
The Breezango is still, maybe a joke, but now people are into it.
That's the thing. This transforms that. They're not just coming out in police officer hats throwing pieces of paper at people.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I don't know. I not that I hate to say it. Maybe I just hate doing this comparison thing. But there was a group that was saddled with a lame ass gimmick that they got over with the crowd through nothing more than a lot of hard work and sheer force of will. And you know who I'm talking about.
There's been a few.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Here's the thing. In my head, I'm thinking, I'm thinking Mizdow.
Uh huh.
I thought you were going three man band.
No. God, no. This could be another Mizdow. Like, you run it, like, in my head, you run this the way they used to run the Hurricane, where when he left the screen and everyone looked up, like, he flew off into the sky.
Yeah, he'd jump off camera.
Yeah.
What's like, up with that?
No matter who serious the person was, no matter how much it was against their character to do it, they all looked up.
Stone Cold, they all played with Rock, it. Vince, even
they all, yeah, they all played it. That's what this has to be. You have to, like, Tyler Breeze comes out in these stupid costumes, these stupid disguises that are so cheap and blatant, and everyone buys it.
Because he's a master of disguise.
Because he's a master of disguise, and you've got Fandango there playing the straight man of the whole thing.
And the fact that Fandango can't pronounce recognizance. Which,
I mean, Mike, this has such potential.
Oh, it, you know what? Yeah, after tonight's match, I have to admit that I see it. Mike, did you get, you know, I got New Day. He got, Omega, you got your guys.
Mizdow,
what did you get out of this?
I got Mizdow. I'm sorry.
You got Mizdow. No, don't apologize. Rock, what about you?
I can see Mizdow. I thought, you know, when you were saying it, three man, who just got himself over, but I can see Mizdow out of it.
Yeah, but you said three-man band. That was the, okay, my point is, tonight showed that these guys are on the level of those gimmicks that the wrestlers got over through sheer force of will. Meaning, they're doing it.
Here's the thing. We all know how talented Fandango is as a worker. Always has been, always will be really good.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Tyler Breeze.
Yeah.
They just,
yeah.
Something happened somewhere along the lines where people give up on you.
They get misbooked and they get the wrong gimmick given to them coming up from NXT, where it'll work in a small venue like that, but not in the on the big stage.
And for someone like Breeze, who's gone through many gimmicks, and the Tyler Breeze gimmick works if you do it correctly, but they gave up on it really quick.
Yeah.
He did have a series of matches with Dolph Ziggler, but that's beside the point.
Not Dolph again.
Yeah. But he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to talk about who would be a perfect opponent if you actually treated him as a serious competitor?
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Breeze and Shinsuke Nakamura would be a really good match.
If you let Tyler Breeze wrestle as the wrestler he can be.
Yeah.
As opposed to WWE's version of the current Tyler Breeze.
Right.
It would be off the charts.
And you need guys like Tyler Breeze and a Fandango who could really work in your mid-card to get your main eventers over.
So. Yep.
Using them as a tag team right now could be really good to get over the Usos and take them seriously.
Yeah, it's weird to say that you have to get the Usos over at this point.
But because
it really is.
It really is, but they're no longer, you know, the pounding the chest and face paint Usos. There's something new now.
Yeah, no, I get exactly where you're coming from on that one. The point being, right? The Usos, when they were all the Maori war chant when they first come out, and then when you say Usos, y'all say, oh, I was never into the Usos to begin with. I was, you know, one of those people on the other side of that fence. I was never an Usos fan to begin with.
It's same here. I'm not the biggest Usos fan.
Right, but there are people out there who were absolute over, you know, the moon Uso fans. And that's fine. That's perfectly fine. If we were all the same cookie cutter, it would be boring as batshit.
Now, let me flip this around. We have how awesome Breezango it was tonight, how comical they can be.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the other comedy tag team on SmackDown Live?
Right now?
Yes.
You're thinking of a specific comedy team, aren't you?
I'm thinking of a duo or trio, as it were.
I'm thinking, if you're not talking about the New Day that I haven't seen on SmackDown Live yet because I haven't had a chance to watch SmackDown lately, then you should ask Mike and Omega if they know of any other groups.
They still haven't made their debut on SmackDown.
Yeah, they're still coming. No. They're still coming soon.
Yeah, they're waiting on Kofi.
But that's what I'm saying. New Day, fashion please. the interactions between the two.
Oh my god, that's gonna be incredible.
And here's the kicker on that. Xavier Woods and Tyler Breeze, outside of things, are best friends. So you
oh
know.
Oh my god.
So you know, they would do what it takes to
just,
get each other
oh,
over.
Fuck, imagine the instant chemistry as soon as we see it.
Mm-hmm. Just to get each other over. They would be willing to do it. Cause, let's go way back to Bray Wyatt and Xavier Woods. They're really good friends. Xavier did a hell of a job to get over the Bray Wyatt stuff.
Oh my god, that was so good. Just watching him get hypnotized and slowly kind of cave toward the ring. Oh, is he going to go to the dark side or not?
Well, that's just the whole thing. If Xavier Woods wasn't so capable of selling it the way he did, it would be very hard to swallow that whole bit that they went through.
Yeah,
I think.
He is, like, I feel like because he's in the middle of, you know, a giant like Big E and a veteran like Kofi, that he sometimes gets lost and you forget. He is so good.
Yep.
So the Usos are still your WWE SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions. Up next, Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin.
Oh my god. Excuse me, I have to use the bathroom.
Said probably a lot of people.
Yeah.
That's why I said it.
No offense to the men involved.
So, guess how this match went by my commentary earlier.
Ponderously.
Sammy got beaten up a lot. The announcers were very concerned about him. Oh, he won.
Mm-hmm. It was a SmackDown match.
And this goes back to Mike bringing up Baron Corbin as opponent for Shinsuke. Baron Corbin has the look and the size they like. He has improved greatly, but he's not on the level they need. But
okay, you want to talk a matchup that would work would be Baron Corbin versus Dolph Ziggler.
No, we've seen it. It was
they did
awful.
That. It's not good.
Remember that Best of Five pre-show series?
No, okay, fine. If they were allowed to do it properly and given the right amount of time, it would work. But technically,
you can make that argument for any matchup they've ever had.
Except for Shinsuke and Dolph. This is my point. Now, before I got interrupted, what I was saying is that's a matchup that would work compared to Baron Corbin versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Right. So,
that was my point.
I know that was your point. Just don't give us those horrible flashbacks of Dolph and Baron. That was just...
Too late.
We're flashbacks. Anyway.
Hey, don't forget, Friday was May 19th.
May 19th. Greatest day ever. Megan describes the matchup perfectly. Sami Zayn got beat up and then won. He sold his back for the majority of the match. They did a good job doing that. I will say that. But it wasn't anything special, and...
I'm just getting tired of seeing Sami Zayn as the kid getting beat up and winning. Let him actually dominate 60% of the offense for a change in a match.
Yeah, there's two types of Sami Zayn matches. There is Sami gets beaten up a lot and somehow ekes out a win, and Sami Zayn gets beaten up a lot and the ref stops the match.
Yeah, pretty much. Because tonight they were even talking about, oh, maybe the ref's going to stop this match.
That's what they do. It's like, how do you expect to get somebody over when you're consistently putting over how much they get beaten up and how much, you know, like how little, like how underperforming they are in the ring?
How bad is it to say that Sami Zayn is the less successful male version of Bayley? Come on. Come at me, bro.
They're both underdog baby faces.
Yeah, there you go. Chime in, Mike.
I honestly cannot. I'm just that's kind of how I feel.
That was a lot of just noises. I don't even know what that was.
I can't really say anything on it. Just let it
marinate then.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
There was a bad match on this card that was more of a favorite of mine than Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn.
And which was that?
Well, we already talked about it. Don't worry about it. Move on.
So Jinder Mahal arrives with his limos.
Does he really need a magic flying carpet underneath his feet when he gets out of the car and walks?
They legit brought out a carpet They legit brought out a carpet for us to stand on.
They brought out a Persian carpet.
Oh my god.
It's a Persian rug. Persia. Today's, what is that? That's Iraq. Or no, it's Iran. It's one of the two.
Something with an I.
And he's supposed to be from the Punjabi province of India, for crying out loud.
Via Calgary.
Yeah, actually from Calgary, Germanic Falls, Alberta, Canada. Born in Whitehorn, as a matter of fact. Which is one of our divisions. But don't tell the people that. He's from India.
You would disrespect God if you do. Haters gonna hate. Sums up his promo. Haters gonna hate.
Yeah, pretty much. And should we bring up what I described his run as now, or shall we wait until the main event?
I think it makes a bigger point in the main event.
Okay.
Oh dear.
Yeah, no, it's a very bang on comparison, Omega. It's neither good nor bad, but it's just something that's like right on the fucking nose.
One thing we forgot to mention during the tag match, when he used a mop, where he was mopping the ring.
Tyler Breeze. And I was actually thinking about that, and I was going to make a point, and then I totally forgot about it. If you want to know how good Tyler Breeze is, he's in the corner, facing the corner, back to Uso, whichever one, one of the ones whose names begin with a J, and Uso charges him. And without even looking over his shoulder he wasn't looking at the Jumbotron playback, just at the right time, he takes a one step to the left of the corner. So, boom, Uso basically runs into the corner.
Anyway, our next matchup. It was the 6 women tag team match. Charlotte, Naomi, and Becky Lynch versus Natalya, Tamina, and Carmella.
I felt disappointed by this. Like, what did I say? Something was off, or what did I say?
You said something was off between everyone. There was something missing, and you thought I was taking a shot at you.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were being a smartass when you said not enough Natty.
And no offense to Tamina or Carmella, but Natty's the better of the three in ring worker. And when you said that, you asked that question, Natty really wasn't in the match, and then she took over the rest of the match, and the match was fine. At that point.
I'm just actually looking up what I said. Oh, I said three things I said. Becky Lynch is either an 80s hair metal band fan, or she wants to be the eye candy in one of those rock videos.
Yeah, I was going to get to her hair, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought she came right out of Thunderdome.
Oh, that was another one. Yeah, good one. I didn't think of the Thunderdome. I was too busy thinking of 80s hair metal. Like, she's my cherry pie?
Oh, no, no. I get where you're going. That, my head kind of went there, too.
Yeah, okay. But your head went more Thunderdome than mine did.
Well, I can't get beyond Thunderdome, Tim. We know this.
Well, you know, maybe you need another hero. I don't know.
Women's match.
Why is this match a little less, air quotes, good than it should be? That was my question, and your Rock's response was not enough Natty. I took that the wrong way. He was serious, Mike.
Very serious.
Not enough. I mean, I guess they were trying to preserve it for something, which I think it's a bunch of honkadory bullshit, but, you know.
No, they weren't saving her, because guess what? At that point of the question, guess who got tagged in? Natty. And then the match became really good. Natty worked with the girls, and they had a really nice finish. A surprising finish with Becky tapping out.
No.
Oh, yeah.
But,
well, I think probably because
into the mic.
I know. I think Natty. I think they were trying to give her, I think Natty was trying to give the younger generation, like, hey, go ahead, get yourself some.
Well, you know, here's the other thing about that. I don't think Natty was thinking that. I think the booker was telling Natty and Charlotte, you two, back off, let's highlight them, which is the wrong thing to do when you've got Natalya and Charlotte on opposing teams with the youngers. Am I wrong, Omega?
No, absolutely not. Like, if anything, if you're going to put over the younger generation, you need to have them in the ring in order to do that, rather than sitting on the sidelines and just staring idly. This felt more like, this felt like you have women in there with a ton of talent. You know, we've hyped up, of course, like Becky and Naomi in the past, but I don't know. I'm not sure if it was so much like, oh, it needed more Natty so much as it is Carmella's not up to snuff with the rest of them.
I'm glad I didn't have to think about leading you there because of a comment that I made to Rock about that. I'm going to let you finish and I'll read the comment to you. Go ahead.
Tamina, because she had so much downtime, while all the legal issues with her dad happened.
And knee injuries.
And the knee injuries. She just hasn't had the time to keep up with everybody because right now the Divas division, it's going the way, it's like evolving like your damn computers and everything. You know, by the time you're only a year out, but you're like already generations behind.
Now, before Tim makes his point, Nia Jax is, Tamina's looking like Nia Jax with her gear?
Kinda. I had that thought when I saw her come out. It was weird.
Yeah, okay, we're all on the same page, because I saw her come out and I'm thinking she raided Nia's closet. I literally thought that.
Anyway, Tim, your point.
This is exactly what I said to Rock. I think Carmella is hurting this match. And that was back when I said, what is off it with this match to me? And then I realized it's Carmella. It's too much Carmella.
And they've been trying to push Carmella, which is fine. You're allowed to push new people as we've been documenting. It's fine.
And yeah, I'm not taking a nasty swipe at Carmella. She needs a lot more seasoning before she gets in the ring with that type of match.
She's made leaps and strides from where she was, let's say, a year ago. Her personality is well beyond her in-ring ability at this point. You gotta balance it out a little bit. She's taking strides. She's just not there yet.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have one really good worker on your side, and Tamina has been really overrated her entire career, because she's not as good as, just because she has a snooka name, she's kind of overrated. Just saying.
Just a little bit.
It's a unpleasant thing to say, but, then again, look at Raw and the Hennig they have on the roster. Oh, wait, you can't. He's never on TV.
Right. So when you have one really good worker, the two other workers have to have some part in the match. And that's what happens.
You never let a green worker work with a weak worker. If you've got somebody weak or green, and no, those aren't necessarily always the same two things. And anybody who's a professional wrestler who's ever wrestled big time or in the indies will understand what I'm talking about. You can't have a weak and a green working each other, especially for any length of time. You've got to have somebody with at least a little bit of seasoning in there with one or the other. And weak and green are not always the same thing. You can have a green wrestler that's really good, or you can have a green wrestler that's also weak.
And you need, what SmackDown needs is another experienced heel.
Mm-hmm.
Tamina has experience, not great experience, but she has experience. You need someone who has Natty level skill, which they had and they traded her to Raw, Mickie James. Besides the point, they need that on SmackDown to help Carmella grow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, as far as Natty level skill, I mean, Charlotte is rapidly getting there. And thanks to Natty, Charlotte is rapidly getting there.
But right now she's on the babyface side.
I was just saying, right now she's a babyface now. And kind that's of. Just something I'm still not used to.
That's weird. It's not natural.
Yeah. She's a player.
I think it's fine for now because you have to have that. Like, if you're going to have her play face again at any point, then yes, you need to see her. You need to, this is the best opportunity. Going to a new brand, starting fresh and all that. You have this opportunity to reset her character, and you need to take it so she doesn't get stale as a heel.
Right, and that's fine. And it's just weird, because the end goal is Naomi and Charlotte for the title at some point. That's the end goal. So it's fine, as it is right now. It's just weird.
But at the same time, we've acknowledged she's gotten a lot better. But we also know that there's been parts where being the heel has not suited her well. Anytime she had to denounce her own father on the air.
Awkwardness, yes.
Very.
Awkwardness, yes. But, again, you see the potential in someone like Carmella. You see what they see.
Yeah.
It's just going to take some time to get there. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I said it about Naomi. It's like she came on as a dancer, and I honestly think she's one of the best on that roster right now. She worked really, really hard to come away from, I'm dancing behind the big guy to actual women's champion. I'm completely believe her in that role.
Yeah, Funkadactyl.
Yeah, it just took time. It took time and it took effort. It's honestly up to Carmella whether or not she gets to the same point.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, we go to break.
Everybody, you're listening to the Backlash Review version of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Simulcast on the TuneIn app, 100% free. Download it to your mobile device and then search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can check us out whenever we go live with any WTR program, except Twitch TV with WTR Sims. Any night of the week, you're not tied down to your computer or anything like that. Listen to us do our thing while you're on the go. Speaking about go, we're going to go now, take a break, and we'll be back in just a few. Stick around. We got the rest of the pay-per-view to review.
What is the greatest television theme song of all time? CB Radio has decided. It's the Greater Than Great Debate, heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Addams Family, their house is a museum. When people come to see them, they really are a scream. The Addams Family.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in... I thought to myself... Maybe I have one badass spear left in me. And I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
and the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Celebrating 5 years of the award-winning The Rack.
And I always say the main event of WrestleMania is always my most memorable moment. The most memorable moment during that time at WrestleMania 27, which I know that isn't your question, which one other than, but there was a moment that nobody actually saw that I had with all my 10 best friends that were sitting front row, that those 10 guys would sit in my living room in 1998 and watch every WrestleMania, every pay-per-view at my house. Those guys
Oh, wow.
Were sitting front row during WrestleMania 27 when John Cena's entrance is going on and all the lights are on him, everyone's staring at him. I went over to my friends, showed them the title, and looked at them and said, guys, we did it. And they were just going nuts, ecstatic. And that's like my most memorable moment that I have to this day.
Join us June 29th for the celebration at 10 p.m. Eastern, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
This is where I say welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am your host with the most. Coca-Cola's in the room, that is. Tim Stein, along with the Omega Heartbreak Mike, and of course, Joe Producer, Sir Rockin'.
Woo!
Who did that?
I did.
Why did you do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
You said my name, so I went, woo!
I'm the best in the world at what? I don't know. I stole that.
From another Canadian. Who probably invented it?
That particular Canadian invented Canada.
I never
showing some respect.
So we have to
Well, I hate to tell you, he stole it from a fake Canadian from a comic book.
And a fake Indian just won it anyway.
No, he said, well, okay. That's a conundrum, because he's not really a fake Indian.
But you get my point.
So there.
Anyway, we have one point we need to make, and because we got hung up on Carmella and Natty and stuff. This involves Natty and Becky. There was a schoolboy pinfall.
Yeah.
And Natty never kicked out.
Why the fuck did Becky stand up?
Becky just sort of got up, cause reasons.
Yeah, and Natty didn't even kick or even make any flinch or move or anything like that. Maybe she farted. I don't know. Sorry, Natty.
But yeah, that was one point we had to make. Becky just stared and waited for Tamina to come in with a kick.
She planted for the kick.
Yeah, it was too much choreographed right there. It was, we knew the spot. You just saw it coming, and it got a little bit, show a little bit of force on a kick out.
It's like, okay, this is what's going to happen. You're going to roll her up in the schoolboy for a two count. Natty will kick out at two, and then you're going to get kicked by Tamina. And then Natty will roll you up in the sharpshooter, and then you tap out. That's the booking. And then you hear this, and you're so hyped to make sure that you get the finish right, you jump the gun. And it was almost like Tamina's like, oh, shit, I got to kick you now. You're not supposed to be ready already.
Yeah. Anyway, we wanted to get that point in because we made mention of it.
It took me out of the match.
Thankfully, that was just towards the end.
Yeah. And, again, just to reiterate, I'm not bitching like a jaded fan or anything like that. I'm just pointing out these things that when you're as involved in professional wrestling as we happen to be, and you notice something like that, you feel bad for the girls.
Because I noticed that last night where and this goes on the referee, when you do the one, two, and then you do the false three, it's like, you don't stop the count. You gotta go forward with it, and it's up to the guys to do it. You can't just sort of stop.
I've been taken out of so many matches like that because the referee just stops counting for some reason.
Yeah. Well, a few times we've seen Hebner screw up when he was still with WWE. He actually would count three, and then the guys would kick out because he was counting too fast.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. You can cover that up just by waving your arms, you know, because at that point, you know, sometimes you come down, like, logically, you would come down with enough force sometimes to where you might notice a kick out before your hand hits, but not be able to stop yourself.
Yes.
So, we're so programmed to just know that when that third slap to the mat happens, oh, that's the end of the match, that you kind of you kind of leave out any room for error.
It's that 2 3/4 thing. It's like,
yeah.
He kicked out, but my hand hit. Anyway. So, next matchup on the show had to be, by anyone coming into this, match of the night possibility.
Well, here's the thing. This match paid for the paper, you know, this match, you paid for this match for the paper when you bought the pay-per-view. You know what I'm trying to say.
Somewhere in there, you made a point.
Yeah.
This match was worth the $9.99 or free 30-day trial of the WWE Network.
There you go.
Or for some of you, this was worth making a new email account.
So, first things first, how powerful is Chris Jericho, Tim?
How powerful is Chris Jericho?
Yes.
He's gone. Everybody knows he's gone because Mongoose McQueen lives. In other words, Fozzy's back on tour. Everybody knows this. This is no secret to any WWE fan / Fozzy fan. Chris Jericho is so powerful that he doesn't even need to be there for the fans to break into a stupid idiot chant. I got a kick out of it when it happened, that's all.
And the second thing you noticed, because you've been obsessed with hockey in the last month, don't blame you. Kevin Owens walking around his face.
Yes.
Hold on, he did it differently this time, but he's always been walking around his face.
Okay, and again, you know, I've been preoccupied because I'm, well, you know, Canadian. This actually ties into the NHL and hockey in general, and probably football and baseball and everything else. It is an absolute egregious sin to walk into an NHL locker room and put even one foot on the team logo, on the carpet, on the floor, in the locker room. And maybe it's just because of the NHL playoffs going on right now. Pittsburgh winning today by a score of 7-0 over the Ottawa Senators, by the way.
I have a question, Tim.
Yeah.
If you're not allowed to step on the logo, right?
Yeah.
One, why is the logo so big? Two, why do you need a logo?
Team pride stuff. That's what it is. It's just like you never let your jersey touch the floor either.
I get that. I'm just saying, yeah. Why do you need a logo this big if you want people to avoid it?
Well, it's just...
That's part of the game, Rock.
It's all part and parcel of the whole psychology of the game. is what it is. It's like what Omega said. And listen to him. He knows sports stuff.
I know my sports ball.
There you go.
I go to Omega for all sports ball needs.
You don't even know how many hockey balls I've collected over the years.
Hey, there are such a thing as hockey balls. You use them when you play ball hockey.
No. I don't talk about when I play ball hockey.
Anyway, it just like I saw that and I'm like, oh yeah, the NHL playoffs are going on right now. Because he walked around and didn't step on the picture of his face. And it just, that's where it took me.
It also just strikes me as one of those heel things that he would do.
Yeah.
He has such an arrogance to him, he won't even walk on his own face.
Mm-hmm. And there's something I noticed about Kevin Owens tonight. It's been a little while since I've actually, like, you know, seen him. But he looks to have lost a few pounds.
Strangely enough, I took notice of that, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
That was that. But then we had the match. Oh, my God.
The selling by AJ Styles of his knee. Awesome.
Well, this was the match that you and I brought up, psychology. Look at it. There it is again. Holy cow. It's so subtle. Some people are going to miss that and the other thing that they just did. But it all sells the entire match. And then there's stuff that's super obvious, like AJ is clutching his knee and flexing it and smacking it and trying to get it. Oh, my Jesus. Textbook.
Little things like, you know, okay, so we're going to focus on a body part. One of Kevin Owens' big moves is the cannonball. And yep. He did it to the knee.
Yep.
He used the LED ring post. He just smashed his leg into it.
Yep.
It's like little things like that. It's working a body part.
Doing that that suplex type maneuver, neck breaker thing, only in reverse. Yeah, and he focused on the knee.
Yeah. What makes really good matches, great storytelling in matches, psychology in matches, when you focus in on that body part, and that's the genesis of the story, play throughout. Mm-hmm. You have some matches where, okay, we're going to work over injury, and then the guy does flip and a flip dive and all this other stuff, and they forget about the knee.
Yeah.
We've seen it a lot. Dean Ambrose.
I hate those matches where, they're working on the knee, they're targeting the knee, but the only time they start selling the knee is when it starts playing into the finish. Just between those two points, they completely forget, oh, right, I'm supposed to be hurt.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just it. As soon as the tweak happened, AJ never forgot. And it was at the point where he went for the phenomenal forearm.
That was beautiful.
It was brilliant.
Like, it takes someone AJ's caliber to be able to fall on the ring ropes like that and know what's going to happen. That is how good he is, to know himself and the ring that well.
Yeah, now let me ask you guys, did you notice on the replay exactly how he did it?
No, I didn't notice the replay, no.
Obviously not. Okay, you didn't see it, Omega? You didn't notice it? When he jumped up?
I noticed when he jumped up, he was going for the springboard with his bad leg.
Oh my. Yeah. Exactly. If you watch the replay and you pay attention to it, Mike, you will see that he makes sure that his left leg is tucked under him. And the only foot that he could land on the top rope with was his right foot, which is supposed to be the fucked up knee. It was, and of course, you know, it gives out on him just as he lands on the top rope and he falls off the rope. It was awesome.
The thing of it is that you have two Ring of Honor guys. I mean, sorry, yeah. Yeah, two Ring of Honor guys, two PWG guys that know each other. So this match right here was like, oh, God, this fucking Christmas gift. Because they know each other. Just like Sammy and Kevin. These two know each other. These two have wanted to work with each other for a while. As much as I hate to say it, WWE is... Well, I'm sorry. Nope. Correction. SmackDown and NXT are the brands that make dreams become reality. I would say that on Raw, but yeah, no time soon. But I love that they worked each other. And Tim, you can probably agree to this. They both told a story.
Mike, boil it down to one word. I'm going to give Omega the opportunity to see if he can guess the word I'm thinking. One word, Omega.
Phenomenal. Sorry.
Chemistry.
There, Mike got the word.
I don't follow prompts well, Tim.
I know it. I still have my hopes sometimes.
Sorry.
Lies a bitch. But, it boils right down. These guys have worked each other so much in the past that it's instant chemistry. I mean, you get a lot of wrestlers out there that wind up working three quarters of the match really well because they find that chemistry. Then you've got Kevin and AJ. It's instant chemistry. Kevin and Chris was instant chemistry when they fought each other because of the chemistry they were able to build up when they were best friends.
Let me tell you about my best friend. Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't sing Queen because it just doesn't work with you.
Okay.
Yeah, you're no Adam Lambert.
Thank God.
Hey, be nice. No slurs. But yeah, damn. It's just this entire match.
So going back and talk about the knee and everything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It played into the finish. As he got that same knee. Was
golden.
Stuck in the table.
Oh, it was beautiful booking.
That was smart. I loved it.
The thing
I cannot count how many times they have undone the announcer's table for a break spot. And I always think in my head, please, dear God, do not step in one of those holes. Do not.
And what happened? Two top guys make sure that someone steps in the hole.
It's one of those things that I think because you are aware of it so often, it sits in the back of your mind as a possibility, but you never really account for it. It's just almost subconscious. So when it actually happens, it hits in such a good way.
Yeah. Now, one of the things about me, whenever there's a spot that is planned out where there's an absolute potential of really for serious breaking your knee or your ankle or screwing up your leg anywhere from your hip down to your toes, I get nervous for the worker. And AJ was so golden that, you know, I'm just leaning into my TV thinking, did you hurt yourself for real? What the fuck? Because it was so, you know, like it was just so perfect. The thing that I really hated was the replay. And this isn't anything that was done wrong or anything like that on anybody's part except the angle of the cameraman. He caught AJ actually looping the cables around his foot. And that just, it made me sad that they caught that because it just, it kind of sort of ruined the magic a little bit. And I don't know if I'm in the minority who caught that or if a lot of people caught that or not. But to see AJ actually reach down and wrap the cable around his foot before he pops out and he's stuck. It's like noticing that the magician puts the false bottom in the top hat before he pulls out the rabbit.
Spoiler.
You mean the rabbit's not real?
I got news for you, kid. The rabbit was in the hat the whole time.
Okay.
I just left everybody speechless. It's almost like I told you there is no Santa Claus.
But
no. Mom lied to me.
Don't go there, Tim.
What? There is a Santa Claus. Shut up.
Same.
I know there's a Santa Claus and he uses my goddamn credit card every year. Yeah, but anyway, that's the only thing that I was like upset about with this entire match, and it was nobody's fault but the camera angle.
This is one of those situations where I kind of felt like if that was the spot they were planning for, I don't know, maybe JBL, experienced worker he is, could, you know, just like get, you know, like sneak down onto the floor and just do that himself.
Yeah, you know, too bad they couldn't have somebody go under there and just wrap the cable around his foot is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, the only problem is the back of the booth is exposed, and the people right behind the announce table would have seen it.
Tim, you're complaining about everyone watching being able to see it.
Yeah, okay.
The easy way you get away with it is you have one of the guys who worked the cords, text around ringside, go under a table trying looking like they're fixing something. Maybe you do it a couple times throughout the night so it doesn't look fishy.
There you go. Yeah, like so yeah, the crowd's used to somebody going under there.
Yeah, well, you could sneak someone down. You could sneak someone through there like 5 minutes before the spot and just have them wait.
Or you could have a false table side, which is like a piece of black cloth strung from one end to the other. And if you have somebody down there, nobody would ever see them.
Anyway,
yeah, but you're asking to wait there 3 hours minimum just so he could wrap a cable around someone's foot.
Well, right.
No, you can sneak somebody in there during the break before the match starts.
Hey, Hornswoggle spends all day down underneath the ring, so
he's got a whole concession stand under the ring. He's fine.
Well, yeah, but he can stand up and he can like high dive into a swimming pool and everything underneath that ring. It's Hornswoggle.
So Tim, can you give me the official result of this match?
The official result of this match, do you want the WWE tweeted official or the actual what really happened?
The WWE tweeted official result of this match. Okay. They're the ones who give the answers, right?
WWE tweeted this out, kids, and I'm not lying if you didn't see it. AJ Styles wins by countout, but Kevin Owens retains the title. And I replied to their tweet, you kind of fucked that up. Maybe you should read your own scripting.
That was not the best moment their social media has ever had.
No.
Huey defeats Dewey.
Huey.
That was going for a Bradshaw style reference, and I appropriately fucked it up. That works.
Yeah. Huey defeats.
It was Truman and Dewey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Truman.
More great stuff like that can be found at youtube.com/TJOmega.
I remember the newspaper being held up with it says, you know, like, what's his name, wins, and that was part of the opening for the TV show Cheers.
Oh, God, they're bringing out the carpet. They're bringing out the carpet.
How do you know it's your name?
I'm just ignoring Tim. They're just bringing out the carpet.
Are you rewatching the pay-per-view?
Well, I never turn off the stream.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're bringing out the car. It's okay. Anyway, the official result is Kevin Owens wins by count out. Kevin Owens would then attack AJ Styles one last time after the match was over to, you know, drive home his point.
Drive home the fact that he's healed. Now, I want to see this rematch. Desperately.
Money in the Bank.
At Money in the Bank. I want this to be no holds barred. Could you imagine, Omega?
Considering how it ended, no. I want falls count anywhere.
That's definitely another way to go. I could deal with that. Mike?
It could be a thing. So, you know, it could be a thing. It's about a 3-game fan, like I said.
Okay. Could be a kendo stick on a pole match? Oh, wait, no, they're doing that, and that's dumb. Anyway. You know,
something where there are no countouts, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I think it's kind of the obvious. The only way you guys are going to not escape is if we put you inside a steel cage.
I don't want these guys in the steel cage.
In the third match, you could do a cage? Like a blow-off on SmackDown?
The blow-off match? Sure, but not the rematch. No, don't put them in a steel cage.
Cage match doesn't suit this particular style.
They might do great in Hell in a Cell, but AJ Styles and Kevin Owens in a steel cage, just a steel cage? No.
Because
it doesn't work for the contrast in styles.
Because WWE right now has a tendency to automatically go for the escape, and these guys probably don't want to do that. Just saying. Up next, Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. I thought these two had a nice hard-hitting match. I thought Eric Rowan looked really good. Luke Harper sold his ass off for him. And Luke Harper then turned up his own intensity, and yeah, big guy match. Luke Harper wins. Anything you guys want to add?
I have no comment.
I know you do, Tim.
This,
I missed the match.
This felt like something I could see on SmackDown.
But in the position they were given, you know.
It's meant to be a cool down match just before the main event. Give everyone a chance to breathe.
But I thought Eric looked good. I thought Luke looked good. There's no complaints for this match. Like, they did nothing bad.
You're just scared of Lindsay.
No, I really enjoyed the match. What did they do that was bad?
I'm not saying they did anything bad.
I just said it was enjoyable, and they didn't do anything bad. That's what I said.
I'm just saying it didn't feel like a match I had to pay $9.99 to see.
I don't disagree with that either. Now let's talk about the main event.
Alcohol.
Everybody's down on this main event.
This title run is going to make me take up drinking.
Randall Kenneth? Keith Orton? Something like that. Keith.
Randall Keith Orton.
Versus Jinder Mahal.
Can I just call him Raj?
No.
Damn, no more name dropping tonight.
Oh, Mega, you want to take this or should I?
Let's break some of this down, because there's a lot good with this match, and the outcome, there's a lot good with the outcome. What really got the crowd into this match, I hope Tim agrees with this, the jump before the bell.
I can't disagree at all. I'm like, okay, we're about to get the match started, and like, what's going on here? It caught my attention, and I'm like, I'm invested.
It got the crowd who probably was down on just the idea of the match.
Well, I'm gonna dispute you right then and right there, because the second Mahal came out, the crowd was going crazy for him.
I'm not saying everyone, I'm saying down on the match.
One or two people, but they were drowned out.
I'm not saying in the crowd, I'm not talking about the crowd there, I'm talking about watching the show.
Yeah, I'm giving you a hard time.
I know, and I'm trying to make a valid point.
Yeah.
Got him into the match. And the total heel thing to do, which would have been really interesting, when the referee asked, so you want to fight? And Jinder was like, nah. That would have been great. But it didn't happen. They actually had a match, which was slow at points. Working over the shoulder was key in this one.
Well, it wasn't a 5-star match. I will admit that.
But no one had the expectation of it. But we did get a Let's Go Jinder. Jinder sucks chant.
That, I never thought I would ever hear that in my life.
That was awesome. That chant's awesome. Clap, 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 clap. That chant's awesome.
That's the post-mania Raw crowd level of meta.
So, Jinder worked the shoulder a lot in this matchup. There were spots outside. Go ahead.
Which is good.
Yep.
Like, that's actually, like, selling that has thought put into it. Because we saw that with the Sami Zayn match, where his finish is the Huluva kick. I'm going to work his back. Sure, okay.
Well, that's like any Hulk Hogan match where ring psychology states that he's got to do the big leg drop no matter what body parts are injured.
Well, it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
So
but no, it felt like a more natural story to tell as far as working a body part during a match.
So we get through all that. Randy hits the Hangman DDT. He's setting up for the RKO. I like how he's trying to knock some life back into his shoulder by hitting it, so you know. Trying to get the blood flowing again. Good selling. Good psychology. The Bollywood boys pull Jinder out. And then Randy...
this is not a disqualification.
This is not disqualification. Because he was rolling to just sort of help them along.
They reached into the ring and dragged him out. This is not a disqualification.
Totally not. One of the Bollywood boys... Randy was beating him up. There was one, like, I don't know what he has against him, because there's another spot coming in a minute. But he slapped one of these Bollywood boys so hard.
I was he like, must take dives.
He must take dives. Then, so that was awesome. And then we're back in the ring, okay, yada yada yada, back outside. Jinder gets, Randy Orton's destroying these boys on the tables.
Oh shit.
He threw one of the Bollywood boys onto a table and went,
You can't, how are you gonna describe the look on his face?
My bad.
My bad, that's gotta hurt. He was gritting his teeth with his mouth open, but in a straight, like, rectangle.
He was like, my bad, bro. My bad.
And he's like, got a shoulder shrugged and is like, oh, fuck, that had to hurt. And we're just trying to, like, why did he make that face?
It's the expression you have when you broke something your mom owned as a kid.
Okay, thank you, Omega wins. That's the look. And when they hit the replay, I realized why Randy looked like that, because the second Bollywood boy that he flipped over landed on his head on top of the table. And they're like, ooh, shit, that wasn't supposed to happen. I bet that hurt.
He's breaking in these thing boys. Yes, yes, he is. One slap at
welcome to the main roster.
Welcome to that,
like,
main roster.
Like, literally breaking them in.
One body part at a time. And then, after that face, he has the Bollywood boys set up. It's the Hangman, double Hangman DDT. And then the unthinkable. From behind, the Cobra Clutch Slam. 1, 2, 3, Mike, Jinder Mahal is your WWE Champion.
So I'm gonna start.
That was the cue.
Okay. First of all, number one, how the fuck are you gonna let Jinder Mahal, the first guy, to win the WWE? Well, the problem with it is WWE Championship now has decreased its value. But now that they're calling it the WWE title, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this name on the air, but he's not Muhammad Hassan.
Oh, now before you go any further, Rock, do you believe it?
Say it, Tim.
I had to interrupt really quickly, Mike, because I made this point to Rock, and I was going to get to it when it was my turn. You brought it up.
It really pissed me off, and I'm like, pause. So what you're trying to tell me is Muhammad Hassan could not get a title run, but you gave it to Jinder fucking Mahal.
I said the Rock. So they're making Jinder Mahal the East Indian Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah. Granted, this was a thing. But why Jinder? Why, out of all people, Jinder Mahal? Why? Because he turned Super Saiyan in like 2 weeks? Yeah. Good luck with that.
We have to sell to the market in India.
I don't give a fuck if they have to sell it to Mexico. There are a lot of people who deserve the WWE title shot. I'm sorry, that deserve the WWE championship before Jinder.
Oh, yeah.
The list goes on and on and on.
And on and on and on.
On and on and on and on.
Prime example number one, Cody fucking Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes doesn't work for the company, so.
And he's still more credible.
No, not really.
You know what I mean. Number two, Mark Henry.
You're bringing up a guy who's retired and a guy who's without.
But see, my point is, why is it now they want to believe in quote unquote change? Because it's marketing? No. My point is, if that's the WWE Championship, you have literally spat in the face of a lot of wrestlers who worked their ass off with no enhancements necessary. I get it. You want change. You want difference. Jinder fucking Mahal?
Jinder's look has nothing to do with the idea he's not credible to be the champion.
I didn't even say his look.
You did by mentioning steroids.
No enhancement necessary. That's your talent. I like the comeback story. Fired, back, boom. Maybe this is his apology. This is like, hey, I'm sorry. Here you go, title. 3MB. Hey. But I do not see him as WWE champion. I'm going to have to repress the fact that he is WWE champion, but not my champion. I'm sorry. Kali was,
let's not.
I'm sorry. Like,
okay, so
Kali.
Oh my god, I'm sorry. I gotta laugh because it's just like I'm thinking that I'm listening to somebody who didn't vote for Trump.
Okay, taking that out of the
picture. I'm sorry. It just made me laugh. It was funny.
You can't
remember. He's Canadian. It's all funny to him.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, give me the bag of popcorn. Right? Because that's what we up here in Canada are doing, is we're sitting here with a bag of popcorn watching what's going on. And that's all I'm going to say about it, and we're not getting into it.
You can be upset that Jinder's the world champion of WWE because on television they have not put him in a position to be credible. Have they tried in 6 weeks? Yes, they have. But for 6 months would be better. And I think that's the biggest problem. It's not other people deserve this and other people deserve that, like Cody Rhodes or Mark Henry.
Here's the problem. Throughout his career, he's been a jobber.
And that's the problem.
Jinder Mahal, in his first run with the WWE, was nothing. He was meant, Kali's manager. He was meant to be, what, his second? Like, the second guy he brought in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the high point of his career. Because after that, it was down to the weekend shows and 3MB. He comes back because, hey, we need to fill out this roster now that we're splitting the brands. And does nothing. I had to go and find the numbers. Jinder Mahal, since coming back to the WWE, has had 88 matches. He's won 11 of them.
How many of them were TV?
I didn't count that one up.
So say, do,
I'm counting everything, live events and all.
So do a fourth of that. So he's like 4 wins on television, right?
Yeah, his win ratio is 12.5%.
So we'll go with 4 wins on television. No one knows 4 wins were in the last month. If you started his push back in August when he returned, this moment we just saw would be extremely credible.
Yeah, this is a case where, yeah, the win losses absolutely matter. Because now the list of WWE champions, which is supposed to be this list of exalted names in the industry, has to include Jinder fucking Mahal, whose one accomplishment comes as a PR stunt. He sold out the legacy of that belt and everything it's ever meant for the sake of a attention grab.
The past 5 WWE champions this year have been AJ Styles, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Jinder Mahal.
That's where it drags it down, because Jinder doesn't have the name credibility or the success in the business to be able to be in that list.
If they had the long-term thought process of it, he would. And that's the biggest problem. It's not Jinder Mahal winning. It's the process to get there.
Yeah, it's the fact that Jinder Mahal, when he did win, wasn't anything. They haven't made him into anything. You know, it's all a matter of booking. And you can't hotshot something like this, someone who's never won a title ever in the WWE, this run or the previous one, You know, someone who the fans have never taken to, has never sold a piece of merchandise, and has never been a draw in any way, shape, or form. And you give him the best, you give him the biggest belt in the industry out of nowhere.
Now, from a if you go back to the territory days, in, I guess we're supposed to go, okay, so he had his time on Raw. Now he's on SmackDown. It's a new landscape. It's a clean slate. That's what we're supposed to see this as. Brand new. The past is the past. This is a new Jinder.
Here's what this tells me. It tells me that Jinder, who was an absolute jobber on Raw, is up against such weak competition on SmackDown, he can be a top contender. It tells me that the people on Raw are way, way stronger because they have no problem handling Jinder.
It's a land of opportunity, and the booking philosophy is different on SmackDown. Tim, what do you think of the booking?
I'm in the minority because I think it's absolutely fucking brilliant. First off, I understand where you're coming from, but, again, being, you know, anti-Jinder Mahal champion. The problem was not with Jinder. It was with creative, who didn't know what the fuck to do with him after they brought him in to work a program with a great Khali, only because he was the only wrestler that they could find, living in North America, who could speak Punjabi. And once they brought him in and the program with the great Khali, oh, you know, this arranged marriage is going to take place or I'll fight you. And I am rich and I'll cut you off and you will have no money. That was really lame-ass writing to begin with. They stigmatized Jinder Mahal in his first run, and it has stuck with him. It's not just a case of, oh, he's done shitty on Raw, and now he's making himself look good on SmackDown, and it's telling you that Raw can be the superior show compared to SmackDown. It's a whole combination of different things. But you have to be a little bit more open-minded. In my opinion, this is just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. But the booking, putting the title on Jinder, is absolutely brilliant. Right now, you've got every other face and every other heel in different programs. You don't really have much of anything that you can put up against the champion. You need a new face.
That runs
that
the place.
Will cause, and I don't mean baby face. I mean, like a new visage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sheila, is that good for clarifying?
I don't know. It's just going the face that runs the place, the line I've been using all the time. Anyway.
Yeah, there you go. You needed somebody that you could turn credible, that is somebody who can be accepted as an absolute, total, hated heel. Jinder Mahal fits that bill. Now, tonight, the chants, let's go Jinder sucks, were huge. They were just as loud as let's go Cena sucks or let's go Roman sucks. But one thing that I kind of sort of made a joke on, it seems like it's reversed with Jinder Mahal from Cena or Roman Reigns, because the biggest chants, let's go Jinder, came from the male audience. It was the deeper voiced, louder guys. And the Jinder sucks was the chirpier voices, and I don't mean that in a derogatory negative way, but obviously the women and kids don't like them, where the guys do. I just found that a little bit, a little bit funny. But here it is. The way you guys are reacting right now to Jinder Mahal holding the title, I got news for you. That's what WWE wants. That's how you're supposed to react. Oh, this is bullshit. He doesn't deserve the title. I'm sorry. You are doing exactly what they need the crowd to be doing with Jinder.
Now,
and this will help to eradicate the shit that they put him through in his first run.
All right.
Yep. And as far as his win-loss percentage, have you broken down, Omega, any other wrestlers' win-loss percentage right before they won the belt?
No, I was just flabbergasted at his.
Okay, here's the thing. He's not the only one who's gone on a 12% winning streak right before winning the title. there have been, and we bitched about it a couple of times.
It's not, it was not that he had a 12, it's not that he had that win streak beforehand. Yeah. It's that he's won his last three matches on television, and he has not, and the rest of the, and the rest of that 11 is just scattered across the last, you know, almost a year now.
Yeah, no, I understand that, but he's not the only one.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And right now, they've got the perfect opportunity to make Jinder the monster heel. Now, Mike, you said enhancement. You're making the assumption he looks like he may have taken performance enhancers, doesn't he? Possibly, maybe. But here's the thing. I have seen guys look that ripped by building their bodies naturally and using legal protein substances to augment and not using the dreaded steroid.
Now, to back up your point of Jinder being champion.
Yeah.
And I said this at the beginning of the show. We criticized WWE for cutting people's legs out.
Yep.
If Jinder did not win this belt, they would have cut out his legs and you would not have what will end up being a mid-card heel.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, because that's what he's going to destined to be. He's not a main eventer. He's not going to main event WrestleMania. He's not main eventing SummerSlam. But he's a guy who will carry you through Money in the Bank, most likely, as your champion. What happens after that? Who knows?
Wait, yeah. There's one thing about not wanting to cut out somebody's legs. It's another thing to want to surgically graft Usain Bolt's legs to them.
Well, let me ask you, Omega, watching this match, and I don't want you to take this the wrong way when I ask you this question, but I want you to be very unbiased with your answer. Jinder Mahal taking and selling the bumps. Jinder Mahal with his offensive strikes. Your opinion, please.
I think he's gotten a lot of practice as a jobber making people look good, so I have no problem with the bumping side of it.
Okay.
I will give you this. He was better in the match than I had expected him to be.
Okay.
That said, I was not expecting him to be much in the first place.
Okay, so you were hoping for the worst and expecting the worst, and you weren't disappointed.
I was expecting the best and fearing the worst.
Okay, there you go.
Hold on. Omega was very excited because I got this message from Omega. He was so happy this afternoon. The odds flipped. The odds flipped. Jinder's no longer the odds on favorite. The odds flipped. He was so excited.
Okay, now, the questions that I just asked Omega, Mike, same to you. His work in the ring, to boil it down to his work in the ring with Randy. Did he look like shit, or did he look like he did okay?
Like he did okay.
Okay. Fair enough. Rock?
His selling is good. His offense needs work.
His offense needs work. You can say that for a lot of people who have held that title. That said,
his offense needs work for the simple fact that his history, he sells. He sells. He takes it all. He's not the guy.
That's really the simple point of it. He's not used to giving offense.
Right.
It's the same thing we just discussed with, you know, Tamina being behind the other girls just because she hasn't had the time to keep up.
Now, maybe I am a little bit biased, just the tiniest little bit.
Tiny bit.
Literally just a tiny little bit, because I am, you know, for 10 years, I saw him work in Calgary, and I worked with him in Calgary, and I've seen his progress to the point where every show he got more and more and more talented, and he got better and better and better and better, and he was able to actually hang with guys like TJ Wilson. For an example, with Teddy Hart, for example, in Stampede Wrestling and NPWA. He's got the bloodlines. You may not have heard of the great Gama Singh, was one of the biggest professional wrestlers never to work WWF/WWE. And that's his uncle. And so I know what he is capable of. I don't buy into the fact that, oh, he's just a glorified jobber, because I've had the opportunity to see what you guys haven't seen yet. I know what he's capable of, and I know we're going to see some of it. That said, how long have the Bollywood boys been backing him up? That's a lot of bees.
They're well there to call the Singh brothers now.
Yeah, the Singh brothers. How long have the Singh brothers been backing him up?
Ever since he beat Sami Zayn and became number one contender for the WWE Championship. So 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it's been.
So he's had backup as a heel for 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, now that he's got backup, he's able to steal a match or two. That is creative psychology.
Which has been the theme of this entire show.
And the whole thing about it is sometimes it's handled properly, and sometimes it's wielded like a broadsword.
What will be interesting going forward, here's the ball. Run with it. Let's see how far he can run. Let's see. Jinder now has to win over the audience. He has to impress myself, Omega, Mike, and everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And show us he deserves that championship. He has it now.
Who would you rather have a WWE title, Universal or the World title? Roman Reigns or Jinder Mahal?
Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
Mike?
Roman.
You guys would rather Roman have the title than Jinder? Wow.
Because he's credible off the bat.
Nah.
Because we can finally get past that glass ceiling. Just get it done with. But it's, he has the belt. Let's see what he can do with it. I'm always willing to see what they do.
This is what I said before, is if I was going against this, I would be a hypocrite, and I don't want to do that to myself. The credibility part of this comes later. And the story here is the fact that he did do the improbable and actually beat Randy Orton by hook or by crook, however you want to say it. He's the one with the belt now.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells a better story than Randy Orton beats a guy who's consistently lost ever since he came to WWE.
Now, remember, he didn't win the belt clean or on his own.
Said by hook or by crook.
Yep, exactly. You know, just to make that statement to anybody who wasn't paying that much attention to us.
He'll be heel.
Right?
And that's what he's doing. Again, now it's time to build the credibility. Let's see where it goes. If he now starts losing these matches as WWE champion like they did with Rey Mysterio and Jack Swagger, et cetera, then we're back to where we were before tonight. If you have the balls to make this move, go on with it and make it full. Don't, here's the surprise moment and then haha, Randy's back with the bell. Don't do that. Play this out. Let this ride.
I love the reaction of the crowd.
The, oh my god, what the hell did I see reactions? Yeah, they picked out the perfect spots. You listen to Twitter was like, oh my god, what the hell that just happened? What the hell? What the fuck?
I do believe that I typed you in all caps like I was yelling, holy, holy, holy fuck, they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, they did it. They actually had the balls to do it.
Like, before the pay-per-view even kicked off, what did I say to you?
I don't remember. We were talking during it. Yeah, like, they should have the balls to do it.
I was like, yeah. And I was saying they won't have the balls to do it. They fucking did it.
And they shouldn't. It's like they shouldn't have had the balls to do it. They did. They did it. They put the belt on them.
Mm-hmm. So, once again, if you don't like the fact that Jinder Mahal is WWE champion, I am not going to call you a stupid idiot for not agreeing with me. Definitely not. I mean, it's a free world. You're free to feel and think the way you want.
Here's the thing.
And I'm happy with the diversity.
Here's the thing. If you now say, oh my god, I'm never going to watch SmackDown again because Jinder is your champion, you're going to miss Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn, AJ Styles, Kevin Owens. I think you're still going to watch. Just saying.
Yeah. So.
If Jinder's not your cup of tea, there's many other flavors of tea available for you to drink.
Well, hey, that's just a really strange analogy, seeing as tea came originally from India.
Was it?
It's somewhat fitting, and you didn't even realize it when you brought it up.
No, I'm just, yeah. Anyway.
So it was kind of funny to those who are geeky like that.
So, let's break down some numbers, Tim. Who pick them?
Oh my god. All righty then. I've got to call this up and, find the email. There it is.
We should all be embarrassed.
Damn it.
We should all be embarrassed. We all should be ashamed of ourselves.
Why?
Read it, Tim.
Oh, that's
go well.
No.
Oh, shit, yeah. No, it's who won. We need to be really ashamed of all of ourselves.
No.
Who won?
No.
Yep.
What, Omega? What do you think?
I don't want to even say it. Just.
Well, now you have to tell me what you're
thinking. No, rip the band-aid.
All right, Subway, 7-1. Tied in second place with WWE 2K17 Simulator is Tim Stein with 6-2.
Jesus H. Christ.
What fucking two did I get wrong? Oh my
game.
God. Yeah, the video game. Well, good news for Lone Jobber, Omega, and Sheila. You all tied in fourth place. And then coming in at 500, tied in seventh, was Jenna, Linz, Michael, the random thing picker went 500, and Rock, he went 500, 4-4.
I was betting on the Breezango.
Okay.
And, you know, Randy.
Gotcha. Well, in 12th place, we have a three-way tie. Heartbreak, Mike, Matt, and Vincent all went 4-3. Rob, 15th place, 3-5. All is not lost, however. All alone in 16th place into tonight's WTR Pick'em Challenge, the 8-ball. 2 right and 6 wrong.
Haha, stupid eight ball.
Stupid eight ball.
Stupid plastic toy.
And with that, stupid Jinder, minus 3 from
you. Kind of played the wrong song, didn't you?
No, that's a Sabotage down there.
Oh, okay.
My team went minus 3. Lindsay had 2. Omega had 8. Intern and Mike had 29.
Holy shit!
What?
And Tim had 34.
Da-da-da-da!
What?
Overall scores, Team Tim has 67. Mike and the intern are tied to 52. Lindsay has 44. I have 22. And Omega has the 20.
Holy fuck.
Well, at least it's an interesting fantasy season.
I love it when a plan comes together. Of course, it's going to suck when Money in the Bank hits and Jinder loses the title.
And I get
yeah,
my,
it's come back around.
And I'll get my points back.
Oh, quit grumbling.
Yeah, we can't even hear you when you grumble.
Points, motherfuckers.
But
that'll do it.
For another edition of WTR Sunday Night Smackdown's Backlash edition, what you hear in the background is a song. While that's playing, let me tell you about the Raw post show tomorrow night. There's a post show tomorrow night immediately following Raw.
Yes, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We will not be talking about the reign of Jinder Mahal because that's on Thursday. It's Raw post show 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, what's playing in the background is Jinder Mahal's ring entrance music from Stampede Wrestling.
So about the most stereotypical Bollywood song you could find.
Yeah, turn it up just a little bit, Rock, so they can hear it.
Yeah, that's
stereotypical.
Borderline racist was my thought.
All the way borderline racist.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's neither stereotypical nor borderline racist. That was actually one of the number one pop songs in India in 2007.
So, Monday Night's Raw Push.
I'm sure that La Cucaracha is also a very popular song in Mexico at one point. You'd still get punched for singing it to a Mexican.
I don't understand why a song about a cockroach ever got so popular.
The song you're listening to right now has about 4 seconds of actual music looped.
Actually, it's the dance like the dance music remix. They call it the Knight Rider remix.
Tuesday night, Tim.
Well, now that you say it, I can hear a little Knight Rider in there.
Just a little bit of Knight Rider. Well, it just kicked in, right? But, yeah. Tuesday night, WTR Sims, I'm booking. Should we tell everybody what the booking is now, Rock?
You promised them that you would.
I did promise them, didn't I? Okay, so Tuesday night, WTR Sims on Twitch.tv. You can find the link, on WildTalkRadio.com. Click it. And you'll watch the thing I booked. Now, Matt, I know, is going to be interested in this one because he thinks I'm coming after him. But I'm not. We are calling this show The Gauntlet. Two men enter, one man wins. The winner continues to fight until he loses. Until the person who beat him continues to fight until he loses. Etc., etc., etc. Get it?
And what are they fighting for, Tim?
The winner winds up being the number one contender.
For which championship?
Oh, did I not decide which championship?
No, you didn't.
Oh, well, the championship that the winner of the gauntlet gets to fight for is the WrestleTalk Radio title belt.
Why the WrestleTalk Radio title belt?
Well, because I've never booked that one before.
Okay.
Why, are you surprised?
Kind of.
You thought I was going to pick Wild Talk Radio or CB Radio?
Yeah, I kind of was.
Oh, no, dude.
All right.
Because I can enter the gauntlet now.
There you go.
Oh, now you get it.
But here's the thing. You could have entered one for the WTR championship.
I got a guaranteed rematch. Sorry.
But, because, you know, Tim finally lost.
Yeah, I finally lost to Jobber. He cheated.
Right.
Anyway, yeah, so that's that. Anyway.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Twitch.tv/RecRadioShow or WildTalkRadio.com. Tuesday.
Yeah, you know what? Just join us for Shits and Giggles Tuesday night, because it's a lot of fun. 9:30 Mountain Time, 11:30 Eastern.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And that said, then we got on Thursday night the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack radio show.
Yeah, you can check out The Rack Extra NXT TakeOver Chicago edition, because we did that last night. We went live, actually, last night on WildTalkRadio.com to do a little post-show reaction to it. Myself, Lindsay, and the assistant to the NXT analyst, Kane Kins, because the NXT analyst was busy. With other important podcasts.
It's not my fault the idiots can't get their times right.
Get them in line. But you can check out The Rack Extra, NXT Chicago, TakeOver Chicago, available now at WildTalkRadio.com. Thursday we'll talk Backlash. We will talk NXT. We'll talk all the news you can handle. It's back Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Go to YouTube.com/RackRadioShow for daily WWE 2K17 content. Rec Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. There you go.
Now, that being said, I just want to clarify a thing. The WrestleTalk Radio title belt is not the minor belt. It's not the Cruiserweight equivalent. Please. It's the WWE Universal title, whereas the WildTalk Radio belt happens to be the WWE World title equivalent. and the CB radio would be the Intercontinental title equivalent.
Actually, the Russell...
They're Kane Kittens.
Actually, the Russell Talk Radio Championship is like our television title.
Oh, shut up. No, it is what I just said it is, just for this especially. Now be quiet.
Because it's the Fender Weekly, it's TV. Anyway, continue you, on, Tim.
You heard me. Saturday night midnight-ish, or as close as they can get to it, it's another edition of the Wild, the Whack, and the Unusual, the Pirates of the Caribbean's favorite podcast, CB Radio.
I had a lot of fun last night when certain people paid attention. It was the Greater Than Great debate for Nintendo video games. This week we're doing movie villains. It's CB Radio, Saturday night's midnight-ish, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter.com, hashtag LimRob, when a celebrity dies.
And then, of course, at a regular time next Sunday night, another edition of Russell Talk Radio, the be-all, end-all, because we have the Omega.
Mm-hmm. And all of my stuff can be found all over the internet under the same name, except over on Facebook, where you'll find me at TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else, you can find me as TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle if you want to follow me and hear my ramblings there. That is the YouTube channel, where I post up content multiple times per week. There's always new stuff on the way. And then for all the exclusive stuff that YouTube is not a fan of me posting, so you know it's the good stuff, it is over at tjomega.org.
And don't forget to follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Flames Forums. Check out Facebook, facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Yay, it's back! facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Speaking of which, follow Wrestle Talk Radio on the Twitter at WTR Sunday Night. That would be good.
Mike.
Now, hey, you know what? Wow. Most people know him as WTR's Heartbreak Mike, but I happen to also know him as Stewie. Hi, Mike.
And anybody who wants to follow me on the Twitter thingy, Twitter machine, you can add me. It is the WTR Oreo. The WTR Oreo. And then I have a little project going on. We just did a show not too long ago. First of all, it was amazing. Secondly, the Facebook page, UW115. So look there on the Facebook page or look up United Wrestling. So there we go.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I think we're done for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you next Sunday night.
WildTalkRadio.com.